The Maker's House Chapel International presents Destiny Word with Dr. Michael Brady Damichek. As a child of God, you are mandated to take territories and fulfill your destiny. Destiny Word is designed to help illuminate your path towards a purpose-driven life. Please stay tuned for the unadulterated Word of God, a word that not only brings focus to your life, but also helps you navigate the challenges that comes your way.
Open your Bibles quickly to the book of 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 13. Have you found it? I want you to put a finger there and open your Bible again to the book of Judges chapter 16. Judges 16 and 1 Kings 13. We'll read Judges 16, 28, and we'll read 1 Kings 13. Let me take you down memory lane. Those of you who were with us when we started the landmines of destiny, I told you that there are many renditions, there are many accounts, there are many interpretations and explanations when it comes to destiny. There are people who believe that a human's destiny cannot be altered. There are people who believe that your destiny, even in Islam, Qadar, the sixth dimension of their belief. In Islam, the belief is that your fate or your destiny happens to be what you came into this world with, and there is nothing that you can do to alter it. There are people who have written in that regard as far as destiny and fate are concerned, and all the submissions that come is that you cannot change it, you just have to live with it. Said that if there is anything that before you came into this world, there was a pre-plan, a pre-program, destiny has given you things, God had programmed things for you before you got into this world. And because of that, you just have to watch things unfold before your very eyes. It is interesting that that has become what the world has come to appreciate or understand. According to Nietzsche, man's selfhood is in fact fate. And he said that he thought that the idea of fate implied active rejection of the individual conscience and goodwill and scorned all belief in human free will. He said fate was the equivalent of such concepts as life, development, and time. The idea of fate thus became symbolic of the pessimistic demand of activity at all costs. Though such activity was bound to be futile, people had to do something all the same. Now he was saying that because it is pre-observed, it is observed that you came into this world with a pre-planned, a pre-programmed, a predefined life. You came into this world on a definite time. You exit this world also on a definite time. There is nothing you can do about it. You just have to live with it. If that philosophical rendition happens to be true, then like I always say, that then there is no need for God to judge anybody, because you brought me into this world and you have given me a pre-plan, a pre-program that I'm supposed to live with or just watch them unfold. So why, therefore, do you judge me? Then you get to the point whereby others also believe that, no, destiny is not like that. Destiny is the end that God has for a man, but man has a role to play in order to ensure that what God has for him also comes to pass. Now, that is where I want us to pitch our tent this morning also. And so we started that conversation, we started that discussion by saying that if man has a role, now obviously man has a role, because if man has no role over his destiny, then there is no need for you to put any effort into your life or into your destiny. And God will also not have the moral grounds or the legal right to judge you. Why? Because he is sitting somewhere and remotely controlling your actions and your efforts. Now, that is not what God does. God has given you what is called choice or free will. And because God has given you free will, it gives God the ability or the moral grounds, the legal right to be able to judge anybody that has ever walked in this world. We started by saying that if that happens to be the case, then what are some of the things that can stop you from attaining the destined realm that God has for you, from getting to where God has for you? And the first thing that, if you recall, the first thing that we talked about was the fact that you don't have to allow anybody to talk you out of destiny. Most people don't make it to destiny land because people talk them out of it. People speak to them. People tell them 1,001 reasons why they cannot get there. People try to judge and define them using their own lenses and using their own selves to now give the parameters within which they believe that the lives of those people are supposed to pan out. Now, understand this. There is nobody who knows you better than the God who gave you who or where you ought to be. Now, if God is the one that is taking you to your destined end, what he has said about you is what is final. Whatever anybody else will say doesn't matter anymore. If God is the one that is taking you to your destined end, then it means that there is nothing that any individual or anybody else can say that is supposed to carry any weight. Why? Because they don't see into the tomorrow. The one that is giving you a plan for life, the one that is saying that I know the thoughts that I have towards you, the thoughts of good, not to take you to any place of evil, but to bring you to an expected end. He knows the expectations he has for you. And because of that, if he says anything to you, it means that he has the power to bring it to pass. But oftentimes what we find ourselves, or where we find ourselves, is the place whereby people try to talk us out of what God has for us. Now, this man that we just read about, the Bible says that when this prophet came to him, he said unto him, I'm also a prophet. So it means that the same tools that you have, I have it. If you hear the voice of God, I also hear the voice of God. You are a child, you are a young man, you are now coming. You don't have experience. I've been doing this job all my life. I have the experience, and so listen to me. Instead of the guy listening to God, he listened to another person. When destiny is calling, there are many voices that will also emerge. But make sure that you stay true to what God has said to you. Because at the end of the day, it is only what God has said to you that will be giving the power for manifestation, not what men say. Apart from the fact that this man allowed himself to be talked out of destiny, another thing also happened. He got himself to a place where he became disobedient. The Bible says disobedience is like witchcraft. It's amazing the Bible will say that. I said to you when we started this series that a singular act of disobedience can cost you your throne. You don't need to do many wrongs, just one. There are people who lost out on destiny programs. There are people that lost what God has for them, not because they did many things wrong, but because they did just one thing wrong. If God places destiny on your life, greater grace upon you, if God places a greater destiny on your life, there is a higher form of responsibility that God has placed on your shoulders. Now, what that is supposed to mean is that you are supposed to ensure that you don't let God down, neither do you let yourself down. Because destinies of people are connected to yours. Destinies of so many people. The destinies of the people in your family. The destinies of people in your community. The destinies of people in this nation. The destinies of many people are connected to yours. And so when you are going down, you don't go down alone. You go down with many people with you. And one of the shortest ways to go down is to be disobedient to the word of God. The Bible says disobedience is like witchcraft. Said to you, if you recall, that a man called Saul was called by God. He was anointed by God to be a king. And all his life, he was doing what God wanted him to do. Until a day that he decided to do something that wasn't right. He was not supposed to offer the sacrifices. He decided to do it because he could not wait any longer for the prophet to come. And now he was not offering the sacrifices to any deity. He was offering the sacrifices unto God. But because it was not his responsibility to offer that sacrifice, God said unto him, you've lost your throne forever. One of the things that can cost you your destined end, as long as God's plan for you is concerned, is when you become disobedient to what God wants you to do. There are many people in this world that God brought them into this world for greater things. They couldn't get there, not because they were not prayerful. Because I've gotten to a place where I've known that people who even pray the most, they are people who fail the most. Well, we'll talk about that some other time. Because it's not about the length of time you spend in prayer. It is about the little things, the finest of details. How many times do you pray, and after praying you are able to close your doors and do what is right? When nobody is watching, what do you do? Even after standing in church and praying all day, are you able to visit the people who are in prison? Are you able to feed the hungry? Are you able to clothe the naked? Those are the core responsibilities of a Christian. That is what God requires of us as Christians. Not the many times, the 20 hours we stand in church and lift up our hands and we begin to pray from morning till evening. It is about how responsible we are when it comes to the finest of details, what God wants us to do. Are you obedient? How many times have you heard what God is convicting you on?
You want something and you want it so badly. You've seen a gentleman. You want to follow the gentleman so badly that you've forsaken all the biblical disciplines that you have been exposed to. And all that you want to do is to condescend so low and expose yourself to somebody who has not even paid your bride price, and you still want God to bless you. This obedience can cost you a throne. It's not about how many times you do right when it comes to what everybody knows is right. When nobody is there and when nobody is watching, do you do what God expects you to do? Do you spend time meditating, thinking? Are you able to take stock of your life and ask God, God, where did I go wrong? How do I get back on track? There are a lot of us who are losing out on destiny because the paths that we are charting, they are not the right ones. We have been disobedient. We are living life our own way. Now, let's put another layer on the two that we've done so far, and that is being obsessed with self. Most of us, a philosopher once said, of all the bonds that keep man in chains, man is able to free himself when self-control he gains. What it means is that all the troubles that humanity faces, if we are able to exercise self-control, a lot of the problems that we encounter will be solved. Now, this man that we just read about, he had been able to withstand the threats of the king, the wrath of the king. The king said he was going to kill him. He was not scared. But when it got to a time that the body came calling that you are hungry, you need food, he could not resist it any longer. You have to get to a place where you put your body into check. If you really want to get to destiny land, one of the things that you have to do is to kill self and exalt what God has placed on the inside of you. You don't need self with you into where God is taking you to. This man had been able to do many mighty things, performing miracles. The hands of people had withered. The altar had been broken. Ashes had poured off the altar. Many things were happening. The things that were happening just confirmed the fact that this man was a mighty man of God. So powerful, so anointed. And yet he could not control himself. You have to understand this, people of God. If you have any adversary, I've tried to check. There are so many times that in prayer, you'll be asking yourself, God, expose my enemies to me. And you check in your family, you check your father's side, you check your mother's side, you check amongst your friends, you check amongst your colleagues. The only place you fail to check is yourself. If you have any problem, if there is any adversary of your destiny, the number one adversary to your destiny is you. Forget about the devil for a minute. The number one adversary, because even in this world, the devil has no legal right to operate here. For the devil to be able to operate, he needs a human form. And until you allow yourself to pull yourself down, there is nobody that can bring you down. Watch this. Joey Bell said, the only person that can pull me down is myself, so I've decided not to allow myself to pull me down anymore. You have to get to a place where you don't allow the you to pull you down anymore. Because if you are able to control yourself, most of the problems that happen to you won't happen anymore. Somebody is languishing in jail, not because he has been a bad person all his life, but at a certain point in his life, when somebody angered him the most, he could not exercise self-control. Now, it doesn't mean that the person did not come into this world with greater destiny, no. But at every point, there is a negotiation. And if you allow the enemy to steer you the wrong track, that is where you find yourself. Once upon a time, the Bible says that there was a man called Jacob. He had a brother. The brother was so powerful, skillful. He was a man of the moment. The father loved him so much. Why? Because he was doing everything that a father wanted a son to do. Respectful, hardworking. Once upon a time, after going out and working so hard, he came home and he did not even have the energy to cook. And so he went to his brother who was having food in his hands. He looked at his brother and said unto his brother, "Brother, I need food." He said, No, I can't give you my food. You have to trade it off with something. I need your birthright. What do I need a birthright for? I'm hungry. You are talking about birthright. I need food now. You will compromise your tomorrow if you do not understand that life is not about the present. It's about the future. The reason why a lot of people are not able to accomplish greater things is because they think that their life is only revolving on today. Today will still pass and go away. Tomorrow is what is pregnant with things that you don't even know about. You don't have to be like this young man who looked at his brother and said, "Brother, I need food. Forget about the birthright. I just need food." He couldn't control himself. He couldn't wait. He couldn't go to the kitchen himself. He couldn't cook on his own. He couldn't go there and just wait for the process of time to evolve for his food to be cooked. He just wanted what was available as at that time. And most of us have that same problem. We can't wait. And so whoever has it, we trade it off. Look at somebody and say, "Do not trade what God has given to you with anything inferior." He wanted food, but the birthright carried something that will serve his generations forever. One of the things that will kill you quicker and not allow you to get to the place of destiny is when the self shows up and we are not able to tame it. His self showed up and said unto him that, "I need food right now." Instead of him telling himself that, "Okay, you need food, but you have to wait. Or let me take water and wait for the food to be ready." He wasn't ready for that. He just wanted the food there and then. And most of us, we want our things now. We don't understand that if God is sending you from one place to the other, it requires time. And because it requires time, God has to test your patience as well. We just want it and want it now. Do you know how many people have followed self and entered into the wrong marriages and they are now praying their husbands out of this world? You have no idea. I told you some time ago, I saw a man of God. I know a man of God. He's in Kumasi. He came to me sometime a while back. He said, "Man of God, I want you to pray. I want my wife to die. Could you please help me? Stand with me in prayer. I want my wife to die. Pray with me. Kill my wife, man of God." I said, "How do we kill your wife?" He said, No. "The Bible says that we can open the gates of life or death with the power of our tongue. So, as a man of God, if you open your mouth, you say..." But I said, "You're also a man of God. Why haven't you killed her all this while?" He said, "No, whatever thing two or more people shall agree upon in touching." So, I want you to agree with me in touching so that we can kill my wife. Why do you want your wife dead? "I want my wife dead because I thought I was marrying somebody who can help me achieve destiny, not knowing that I was marrying a devil incarnate. But I came to tell you, why did this man of God allow himself to get into that place in the first place? He allowed himself because he saw something that the eyes, the lust of the flesh did not allow him to reason out of what his affections were telling him. He saw the nice legs and said, 'Yes, there you go, baby.' He saw the nice hips and said, 'Oh, that is what I've been praying for.' He did not know that destiny goes beyond features. Destiny goes beyond what, how tall a lady is, how well built a man looks. Destiny goes beyond how good looking a man dresses, because you can meet the devil in a tuxedo. You can meet that devil in suit with a briefcase. You can meet a devil looking all dressed up, beautiful, with her makeup on point. eye extensions, eyelashes, mascara, everything on. You can meet a devil dressed up. Do not be deceived to think that the people that are devilish are people who look ugly and tattered. No, there are people that will come around you with nice colognes, and yet on the inside of them they stink so bad. And I just came to tell you that all that God requires from you is to look beyond what the eyes can tell you and begin to descend. The Bible says the spirit of a man knows no man but the spirit of the man himself. And so the only way you can know somebody is not after the flesh. Paul said, when I came to you, I chose to know no man after the flesh, but to know people after the spirit. Why? Because the spirit will bear witness that we are the sons of God. When you meet people, don't know them after what they wear. Ask yourself, what do they carry? What is the spirit that is in operation? Watch this. If you don't control yourself and you get obsessed with yourself will lead you to where yourself don't want to be in the first place. If you do not control yourself and you get obsessed with yourself will lead yourself to where yourself don't want to be in the first place. That is supposed to mean is that if you are not mindful, you will follow your affections blindly, and it will send you to a place where 10 minutes of pleasure will take you 20 years of undoing it. What you need to do and understand is that anytime God is sending anybody anywhere, the flesh will step in. The flesh will try to tell you what is comfortable with. But you do not walk after the flesh. The Bible says that we do not walk after the flesh, but after the spirit. If you want victory in this life, you are not supposed to be somebody who is driven by self. Watch this. The scripture that you just read, a man called Samson died not fulfilling destiny. He had done many greater things. He had performed greater miracles. He has done so many things. Too, with just the jawbone of an ass, he was able to kill many. He did not need any army to support him. He did not need reinforcement. He could stand and defeat the armies of the adversaries all by himself. He could go all out and kill without even informing his kinsmen. Why? Because God had given him that grace and that power, that ability to do that. And yet once upon a time, after he had allowed himself, that the self had led him to a place where he did not want to be and had been involved with a strange woman, and he had fallen and he had lost every power. And the Bible says that at a point he said, let me shake myself up again, as if it was in the last days or in the days gone by. And the Bible says that when he shook himself, there was nothing in him because the spirit of God had left him. What it means is that sometimes you allow yourself to get to a place and you might think that you still carry divine grace, but grace might have left you. But watch this. The Holy Spirit comes in quiet with noise, but leaves quietly. So it is possible for people to lose the Holy Spirit without them knowing. People can lose the Holy Spirit. There are people who are walking about as men of God, as pastors, as Christians, and the Spirit of God has left them. Because the Holy Spirit will never leave with an announcement. He's a gentle spirit. So when there is rift, he leaves quietly. Now, the Bible says that, and after this man had fallen, and he was praying a prayer of restoration, this is where self came in. He was not concerned about the victory of Israel. What made him fail? What made him die where he was not supposed to have died? What made him die with his enemies? God doesn't expect you to die with your adversaries. God wants you to see them perish on your left and on your right. Check your Bible. He says 1,000 shall fall on your left, 10,000 on your right. And so God doesn't expect you to perish with your adversaries. But this man perished with his adversaries. Why? Because he was obsessed with himself. Check the prayer that he prayed in the book of Judges 16 and the verse number 28. The Bible says that, and he said, so that I will avenge myself of my two eyes. He was filled with vengeance. He was not concerned about the destiny of the people that God brought him to serve. He was just mindful of his name. If you get to the place of destiny, do not be that obsessed with yourself. You can only be forgiven. Listen, you can only be a forgiving person, somebody who is able to easily forgive, if you are not obsessed with yourself. If you know that people can come around you and they can offend you, and if you offend and God forgives you, you'll be able to also forgive others. That is if you are not obsessed with yourself. If you're obsessed with yourself, you live high standards. You place yourself in a realm where it's like you are untouchable. You think that you are the all-in-all, all-be-all, all-in-one. You look at yourself and you know that you are the only one who doesn't get it wrong. You get it right at all times. If you really want to get to a place where what God has said about you will come to pass, one of the things that you should do consistently is to deny yourself. Jesus said, except a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies. Christianity demands a process of dying to self. If you can't die to yourself, you can never follow Jesus. Yourself will bring you nothing good. Yourself will always lead you into a place of trouble and affliction. You can only be where God wants you to be if when the self shows up, you tell yourself, there is something I'm pursuing that is bigger than today. If you are able to say that to yourself, then you'll be able to withstand and endure the afflictions of today. Most of us, when problems come, when troubles come, when hardships come our way, we look for the shortcut. But the Bible says that you should know that the sufferings of this present time is not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in you. Why is God saying that? Because God is looking at your tomorrow and you are only looking at today. And you will mortgage tomorrow for today if you are not mindful of what tomorrow holds. God doesn't want you to be obsessed with yourself. The hunger will come, but it will pass away. The thirst that made this young man go back will come, but it will also pass away. That drive to eat, the drive to fulfill, the drive to satisfy, the drive to meet the needs and the demands of the self, it will keep coming time and time and time again. But your surest ways to victory, your surest, is to always say, self, I put you on hold. I have a higher life, something bigger than food. Do not be like Esau, who just trade his birthright just for food. Do not be like the people of old, who all that they could think about is that if Moses is gone, we still need to satisfy ourselves, so let us create a new God for ourselves. Just be the one who knows that what God has said about you is what is final. You are going to pursue that. And so no matter what the enemy throws at you, even if it is insulting to yourself, you will not go down that line. You will wait and wait. The man, interestingly, had left the city. He was on his way out to his village. But he sat to rest. The prophet came and said, let's go back. God had told him, even the route you use to enter, don't use the same route out. But that man couldn't stand with what God has said unto him. He decided, no, let me go back. At least I've fulfilled my mandate. I have food to eat. Check your Bible. After he had been disobedient, after he had disobeyed, after he had done all that, after he had gone back to eat, the same man told him that now, because you have done that, you'll not get home. You'll be killed on the way. And the Bible says that a lion came at him. Meanwhile, the Christian, the symbol of the Christian faith that had been the cross that I was talking about last week, a symbol of the Christian faith and the Christian spirit and attitude has always been, according to the church fathers, has always been that of the lion. So, the Bible calls Jesus the Lion of Judah. It means that under no circumstance was a lion supposed to devour somebody that had God on his side. Reason? Because it is like a kindred spirit. And yet, this man was killed by it. Why? Because he ate. Why did he eat?
because the flesh called him. Do not allow your flesh to give you invitations to where you don't have to be. I know you are human. Sometimes you have certain urge, certain desire, certain things that your body is might be craving for. But do not compromise on destiny because of your flesh. Whatever your flesh is demanding is temporal. What God has for you is what is permanent. Be on your feet and let us pray. How many of you have made conscious decisions to follow Jesus? I mean, very deliberate. I was telling somebody that to be a Christian is not an accident. You have to be very deliberate. It needs determination. Because there is no single day the enemy will not throw a challenge. There is no single day. Every day will come with its own challenges, but it's a decision. How many of us have decided to follow Jesus? Yourself will not come in between where God wants to take you and where you are. Deny yourself. Look at somebody and say, deny yourself. Do not be obsessed with yourself. Look for another person and tell the person, do not be obsessed with yourself. The self can only satisfy you temporarily. That is why when the self tells somebody to drink, they drink, and yet tomorrow they still have another urge to drink again. Because whatever the flesh will give you is temporal. So if you are a man and your libidinous instincts go or soars up and you feel the need to go in for a woman, you go for the woman, you sleep with a woman today, and tomorrow it still comes back that you still have that need or you still have that drive. Why? Because whatever the flesh brings around is temporal. They have no eternal satisfaction. And what can stop you from getting to where God wants you to get to is when your flesh, the self, always gets your way. If your body gets its way around you all the time, then you will be going down automatically. But I just want us to pray. Just lift up your right hand with me. I don't know, but oh, those, I mean, you've done well. Some of you have been able to still make your way to this place. It means that you were able to overcome self. Oh, yes. Because at about 4 something that the rain started coming down, you could have changed gears, slept some more. There are a lot of people who couldn't make it to church today because the self told them, 10 more minutes, 10. Sometimes you set your alarm clock to pray at night. And when the alarm triggers, you just mute it. Not now, not yet. Hold on just one. No, not yet. Why? Because the self.
Thank you for listening to Destiny Word by Dr. Michael Bwedinyamiche. We believe you have been impacted to fulfill your purpose. For more transformative and uplifting teachings from Dr. Nyamiche, kindly join us at the Maker's House Chapel International Destiny Arena, adjacent the School of Nuclear and Allied Sciences. Join any of our services, Sunday Word from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m., teaching service on Wednesdays from 6:30 p.m. to 8 p.m., and our flagship program, Morning Aura, on Saturdays from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. to engage in prayer and experience the supernatural. You can also be part of our online services, Command Your Morning, every weekday from 4:45 a.m. to 6 a.m., and Power Up Your Week every Sunday from 11:30 p.m. to 12:30 p.m. on our social media platforms. For more information about our ministry, you can reach out to us on 020-004-7488 or 026-681-3275. Additionally, visit our website at www.themakershouse.org. God bless you abundantly as you journey towards your destiny with courage and faith. Destiny Word. Be empowered to take territories and fulfill destinies.